Our Father, who art
in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated and enjoy your day at church. Praise God. Give him some praise, church. You can do this. I didn't get a bulletin. So. Oh, man, Brother Gray's going to give me his bulletin. Thank you, Brother Gray. We're lighting the fourth candle of Advent, and I want to thank Marilyn and Deacon Chuck for doing the Advent. Can you give them a little praise? Can you say thank you?
Thank you.
This is one of the things that they take to their heart and to do for our church, to light the candles for Advent. Marilyn and Deacon Chuck, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I have a few things to say beforehand.
Okay.
On behalf of the congregation, we want to present you with this envelope. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And for Greg, Merry Christmas, Greg.
Oh, thank you.
So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Today, relight, candle of hope, candle of peace, candle of joy. Now, we light the fourth candle for preparation of love. Let it remind us to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ.
Yes, ma'am, it's fine.
After a little bit of years on
it. It's not about religion, amen. It's not about a denomination. It's about Jesus. Can you all say that name with me? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Our promises. Our promises are about Jesus. Today is my bride's mother's birthday. She's been gone a few years. But today is her, and so we remember. Today is my oldest brother Johnny's birthday, and I remember him. I remember. How many remember those that we've lost? Amen? Remember that. And the promise of God is that we will be with them again. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's why I love Jesus. Not because I'm a fanatic, but I love this book, and I love the promises that this book brings to me. The peace, the hope, the joy, and the love in his name. Say his name, church. Jesus. Some churches are afraid to say his name. His name is salvation. His name is hope. And when we talk about the baby Jesus, and we're going to get into that, it's so beautiful. He just came here for us.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Responsive reading. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. For praise from the upright is beautiful.
Praise the Lord with our heart. Make melody to him with instruments of thanksgiving.
Yeah, we already did that. But sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy.
For the word of the Lord is right. All the words of God is right.
Hello, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. This earth is full of goodness. I know we don't see it when you turn on TV. I know you don't see it, but this earth is full of goodness. Why? Because this earth is full of people like you. This is not a church because of me. It's because of you. Walter and Jean. Walter fell down. I mean, he just got through a miracle dealing with chemo and everything, and he started feeling good, and he thought standing on an upside down bucket in the garage was a good idea. Lord help Jean. But we are full of love, amen? We've seen miracles, and I don't mean to pick on it, but I see John and Emily. I've known John for 25 years, and I saw the miracle of two people who needed somebody together to become a family in Christ. Do they get along every day? Absolutely not. Maybe Fran and Lisa get along every day. John's birth. John the Baptist. Anybody remember John the Baptist? It was foretold by an angel to Zechariah. Anybody ever read that in the Bible? John? Where did you find it in the Bible? Was it in Matthew? Was it in Luke? Was it in Mark? Or was it in all four? You can go to any of the Gospels and find about John's birth foretold to Zechariah. How many think it was in Matthew alone? Matthew? How about Luke? We got anybody with Luke? How about Mark? Was it in Mark? How about all four? It's all from all four of them. Yeah. Jesus foretold the angel came to Zechariah in the book of Luke. Period. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Anybody, this is just a bonus question. What was the angel's name? Gabriel, we have a winner. You get a free ticket to whatever we're feeding people downstairs. Now this might sound like a trick question, and you know me, it might be. Jesus' birth is explained to Joseph. How many remember the angel came to Joseph? You can't understand, Joseph, what happened. Not that Joseph, although he's an absolutely beautiful human. But the angel came to Joseph and told her about Mary with child. Did you find that in Matthew? Anybody in Matthew, do you find it? How about in Luke? You find it in Luke? How about in Mark? Anybody find it? How about in all four Gospels? Are you playing? How many think Matthew? Do you get Matthew and everybody? How about Luke? Everybody got Luke? Okay, Mark one more time. And all four, all four. Gabriel coming to Joseph, you will find that in the first chapter of Matthew. Only Matthew. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. That's kind of a catch, right? Jesus was baptized by John. What river?
Jordan.
You guys are getting good with your Bible stuff. The Jordan River. Jesus was baptized by John. Where in the Bible would you find that? Which Gospels? How many think Matthew? How about think Luke? How about Luke? Anybody? How about Mark? Anybody Mark? It's in Mark. How about in all four of them? Yeah. Jesus baptized by John the Baptist, Matthew 3:13.
Oh my God.
Mark 1:9 and Luke 3:21. John left it out. So if you said 3:1. How many times did the rooster crow?
Five
times. That was maybe one of the best questions ever. Why did the rooster crow? Who denied him? Peter. How many times did Peter deny him? You know what I mean. So where in the Gospels would you find Peter denying Jesus? Three times. Is it in Matthew? How about Luke? You find it in Luke? How about Mark? You find it in Mark? How about John? You find it in John. Matthew 26:58. Luke 22, Mark 14, and John 18. That's in every one of your Gospels. Peter denying Jesus. remember at the resurrection where he appears to Mary Magdalene. That must have been something. And he said, do not hold on to me yet because I haven't remembered that. Jesus meets Mary Magdalene after the resurrection. I mean, that's how many know that's good, right? Mary sees him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Mary appeared, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in Matthew 16 and in John 20. Two Gospels. Amen. Give God praise this morning, church. Hallelujah. You cannot find everything in one gospel. That's why you need to read all four. Were they wrong? No. Were they different? No. They just saw different things and wanted to tell us different things. Especially about the genealogy. Matthew wanted to go to one side and Luke wanted to tell you the other side. And you put it all together. Amen. And some people say, I don't read the Old Testament. Well, let me remind you. When Jesus was in the synagogue preaching to those Pharisees, what was he preaching out of? You guys are getting good. So if Jesus is reading out of the Old Testament to them, don't you think we should know? Thank you, Lord. In your bulletin, there are some scripture readings. I'm going to read the first one. Isaiah 7:14 in your bulletin says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You all see that? That's called a prophecy. That was approximately 700 years before Jesus was born. How many think he nailed it, right? That was a prophecy given to Isaiah, and that was, it came true. If I told you last year at this time that in 2023 the Texas Rangers would win the World Series and they would play the Arizona Diamondbacks, you'd say, you're crazy. But now you'd have to say, oh, how did you know that? This is 700 years before Jesus is born. 700 years in advance. They had to go to Bethlehem because they called the census. And they had to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Approximately 100 miles. And I know Fred will like this. I went on the map. New Haven to Springfield is approximately 60 miles. So they had to go 100 miles. They didn't have a car. They didn't have bicycles. They had to walk or ride on a donkey. Get started. Let me know how. That's how far they had to go. I mean, they had to walk. Or take a horse or a donkey. But even then, boy, I don't want to ride 100 miles on a horse, Lily. I'll tell you what. But Bethlehem was a place, a burial place for Rachel in your Bible. It was the home of Ibzan. Who was that? He was the 10th judge of Israel. Elimelech, the father-in-law of Ruth, was born in Bethlehem. Amen. Boaz, her husband, was born in Bethlehem. David was anointed king in Bethlehem. It's called the City of David. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And I want you to all bring your scripture readings because it's so, the only time that Bethlehem is mentioned in the Old Testament is in Micah. It's right there, you read with me. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are a little among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. That was another prophecy in what book? The Bible. Did he nail it? Yes. Nobody thought Bethlehem was like, are you kidding me? They would have picked a better city with more lights. They'd have picked Chicago or New York. They didn't want him to be born in Derby. It's kind of like what it was like. He was born in Bethlehem, and Micah says it exactly. Amen. In your Bible, the angels appear to Mary and Zechariah. Those were your questions today. an angel appeared to Mary. An angel. Anybody ever have an angel appear to you? Oh, you may know. Lily said, Zippy's her angel. Well, he's a fallen angel. No. But think about it. And Gabriel came to them. So those were miracles. The angel came to who else? The shepherds. The angel came to the shepherds. The shepherds saw the angel. They hear the chorus singing. And then the star led the shepherds to where? Bethlehem. Those are miracles from God. And those are in your Bible to read, enjoy, and study. And to think about what God can do. You know, I said, how many here have spoke to angels? You all should raise your hands, because the Bible says you never know when you met an angel. You never know when God sent somebody that you probably forgotten by now that was an angel who wanted to lead you some, who wanted to open a door, who wanted to pray for you.
Absolutely.
You never know who the angel was. And that's, God doesn't want, he just wants you to follow him. And he loves you that much that he thinks that if I just send this one person, that he could change your life. He could lead you down the right path. I believe that there are angels in this world that do that. Not just Gabriel. Gabriel is the messenger. If Gabriel comes to you, whoo! But I believe that he sends, I think that's my God. I believe that he sends angels for us to see and for us to talk to and for us to lead us to God. Into good things, amen? How many want good things? I want good things for you, hallelujah.
Amen.
Miracles. I'm sorry Judy's not here today. Judy and Phil. Phil's not feeling really well yet. He's not recovered. Because Judy told me that Jesus was born in September. Fact. She just said, that's it. That he was born in September. Where'd you get that from? I don't know. And I love her. Do I tell her she's wrong? Anybody, would anybody tell her that she's wrong? Not me. That's above my pay grade when Jesus was born. I know when we celebrate his birth, which is tomorrow, amen? But I'm not going to argue with somebody who says that. But Christians argue about it. I really? Exactly when Jesus was born. I'm not going to argue about that. If you think he was born in July, God bless you. Hallelujah. Say that again.
He was born.
He was born. Yeah, we celebrate his birth when? December 25th. Think about that. And stay with me in this sermon, this message, because it really... The world has turned all of this simply into a holiday experience. We celebrate tomorrow, Jesus' birth, amen? We say, but Merry Christmas. But the world has turned it into happy holiday. To the point of not even saying Merry Christmas. How many know that some people are told you can't say Merry Christmas? And why is that? Because you might offend somebody. Well, I'm offended that you don't say it. Amen?
Amen.
Yet, for Christmas, right, they get time off. Why do you want time off? It's just a holiday. Oh, and they get time and a half or double time. Or like Brandy at the post office, triple time for working on Christmas. You know? Well, you got to go back to work.
I'll go back triple.
I mean, you get time and a half and double time for working on Christmas, working on a happy holiday. No, it ain't no happy. It's Christmas. That's why we started it, amen? And then you got the stores full of people buying this. You got sales here and sales there. And I used to work retail with a man at the Trumbull Mall. And he used to tell me that the last quarter of the year is when he went into the black, when he made the profit. The first 3 months he had to pay the bills and get everything organized and get it all really couple level. And it was that last month. And what's the last month? Christmas. People are going to the store to buy gifts for everybody. Why? Happy holidays? No, it was Christmas. If we just picked another day for a holiday, it would be just another day. But it's Christmas. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Shoppers crowding stores in the last quarter.
But here's the thing, here's the thing. Here, you want the thing?
Yes.
Jesus and God, right? There's another holiday in our year. I love this one. I get another holiday where people go to the store and they buy bags of candy, chocolates and eggs and rabbits. And the ladies go in and they buy new hats, you know, on your Easter bonnet. And then people get all dressed up. They buy suits and they buy clothes and they get their shoes shined up. And then they have a family gathering. It's called Easter. But it's all about who? Jesus. Again, it's about Jesus. It's not a happy holiday. It's a blessed holiday, if you want to call it a holiday. But you got two examples now where the people go crazy over Jesus. Hallelujah. So what do you mean? What do you feel and what do you think when you say to somebody, Merry Christmas? Is it truly of God? Are you really thinking when you say Merry Christmas to somebody that you love them so much that you're thinking of God? And what would Jesus say to us? Why does the enemy attack believers at Christmas? I saw on TV a group of Satanists, they're having a big Satan conference. And people come around with signs and all kinds of things and they attack believers. At Christmas, you can't say Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday. Why? Why does the enemy attack believers at Christmas? What are we missing? How many people pray to God? How many people believe God answers? And your Bible says, ask, seek, and believe. Have faith, right? One day a year? How many days a year do you pray to God? All of them? You mean God will answer my prayer anytime? What are we missing? Christmas is when we celebrate Jesus, right? Christmas. But we ask, we seek, and we pray, and He hears and answers us 365 days a year. How many? 365? Leap year, one more. So I'm thinking and I'm praying as I'm putting this message together, that if the world saw us praising and celebrating Jesus, celebrating who?
Jesus.
You guys are good. In January, in March, in August, in September, in July, whatever day you want, if the world saw us celebrating Jesus, just like we're doing at Christmas, in the month of March, trust me, the Sunday mountain would be moved. They could not come after you for that one day. But because we pick one day, we make it easy for them. And not only that, but we're arguing amongst ourselves what the real day is. What fools we become. We love Him. We love Him in July. We love Him in August. We love Him. But nobody knows because they don't do anything. We argue with each other. He loves us in September, but nobody knows. So nobody cares. The only time they care is when you say you love Jesus. So why don't we praise Him 365 days a year? Why aren't churches full of people who love Him? Because they know that's where their blessings come from. Amen. That's why you're here today, and I give God praise for you, and I ask God to bless you more than you know. But if the world saw us praising and celebrating Jesus in January, March, June, August, September, I believe that it would move mountains. Somebody please say amen.
Amen.
Now, in your bulletin is a very strange scripture. And I asked Marilyn to put in, it's from the book of Mark. And when he got into the boat, who was he? Jesus. He who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And how he has compassion on you. What the heck does that got to do with Christmas, Deacon Sergio? Everything. I don't mean to whisper because it's creepy. He says, go home to who?
Your friends.
And tell them what? What great things the Lord has done for you. Anything God, anybody God has done for you this year? Anybody been blessed by God this year? Anybody? Oh. I love that. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. God loves you, Lily. You tell people that God loves you. Can they see that? I know that he's your hero and he's ours too. What does that got to do with Christmas?
Everything.
I wrote this sentence down in all my studies and all my websites, but this sentence was perfect. So I have to confess this is not my sentence, but it's perfect. There is never a more interesting story than that which a man tells about himself. I love that. Let me hear you out. I love that. There is never a more interesting story than which a man tells about himself. Yeah. And we have many, don't we?
Yes, you do.
Yet we have one great story to tell. Oh, Pastor, really? About you. Your story. Your journey through darkness into light. You have the story of your salvation. Once lost, once a sinner, until you gave your heart to who?
Jesus.
The reason for the season. Amen? Don't stay with me now. I know what you're thinking. How many have felt the grace of God? All the great things God has done for you. Not yesterday, but in your whole life. Here's the thing about your friends. They saw your life 25 years ago, right, Doggy? You're going to be 30. He can look at me and say, I know what you did. You say, yeah, I did that 30 years ago, but I gave my heart to God, and he's moved me in a different direction. The grace of God, the things we do in our life with God, he has moved us. He has moved, and the people who know me best can say, only God can do that? I remember him 30 years. Ain't no way. That man could do what he was doing, except God touched his life. Should I not tell that story? The grace of God, the compassion I have in my heart, the joy, the peace I have, the hope that I have, I didn't have 30 years ago. It's not a religion, children. It's life. And whose life is it? Your life. Stay with me. And I wrote this. I'm sure someone would say, with all of you that remember the past, only God. Miss Lisa, you know me a long time. How many times do you think only God could have made him do what he's doing today? Only God. Only God can do that. And that is a testimony. Somebody say amen. That's a testimony. I need to share with people who know me. What about you? Any age. I don't care how old you are, young or old, it doesn't. Touching those, and here's the point, who will listen and see with their eyes. You don't have to hear me. You just see me. What's he doing? You can see what I'm doing that I didn't do 30 and 40 years ago. You see? I don't have to preach it. I just have to show it. It's a great story of you. Who? You, the good and the bad. With a victory at the end. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. A victory at the end. And it ain't over. I know God's got so much for us. And I'm standing on prayer. And I just believe God has more for us. And I know he does. But I can share that with others. And it's not just yours. It does not belong to you. He does not belong to you. You belong to him. So you need to share it. Faith says others are hungry for the same meal that you have. Trust me, there are people in the world who are waiting for one good word. One, you can do a deed. Yesterday I went to ShopRite and everybody was there, and there was this young man behind the register, and he had a green suit jacket, all Christmassy. All was beautiful, looked like a country western singer. And he had a green tie that matched it. And I said, you look great. And he smiled and said, thank you. He said, yeah, nobody else wanted to get dressed up. I said, but you look great. And he probably was 25, maybe he was, and he said, yeah, nobody else went in. He went above and beyond. His name was Gavin, and I remember that. I tell you that one. So I went to the manager. I went over to the other place near where you talk, and I went to the manager and I said, that man who was dressed in a jacket absolutely is a blessing to the. Oh, and he said, you know what they said? Oh, you mean Gavin? I said, yes. He said, well, thank you for telling me. We'll make sure he gets a free lunch tomorrow. I said, he should get a lot more than that. And then I went over to the spirit shop and bought a glass of wine. And we'd like to drink. How many like to drink wine? Not a sin, trust me. Just don't drink a whole bottle and drive, or you'll be in big trouble. No matter how much you love Jesus. But I said to the guy had a kind of a Christmas sweater on. It was kind of nice. I said to the guy, that's a nice sweater. He said, thank you. I said, there's a guy at the grocery store. He said, you mean Gavin? One guy. Everybody knows the guy. Why? Because he took a step out in faith. Hallelujah. Okay, here's the part where all you're going to feel better. They say when you go to the Easter party or the Christmas party or around Thanksgiving, you're not supposed to talk about sports and politics and religion. So how do I talk about Jesus? Well, you don't do it in a group. Write that down. If you go to Christmas dinner tomorrow, not in a group. Don't do it. Not to three or four at the table. Not at the table. But like an old friend, when you're sitting down watching a game or sitting down having a piece of pie, or just tell somebody, hey, you know what? Man, I've been praying for something. And God has been so good to me. See, you just lit the fire. He may hear you, or she may hear you, or maybe not. But you have something you said to them that's going to resonate, good or bad. But you said, you know what God did for me last week? You know what I've been praying on? And they'll look at you like, well, you've been praying to it. Because you never tell me, you see? Because we don't think we should, but absolutely we should. So that 5 minutes that you talk to one person at a time may be a flicker of light that changes their life forever. How many lives have been changed since you found Jesus? My hand is going up. And you don't tell them, I know this is hard. You don't tell them what you've done, because they have heard that. But what the Lord has led you to. You got 10 minutes to talk to your friend. 5 minutes. Maybe you just got 5 minutes. You say, you know what the Lord led me to do? He changed. I was working here and the Lord said, why don't you try this? And I tried that and God lifted me up. Amen?
Amen.
See, what the Lord led me to do. He allowed me to do what the Lord allowed me to do or blessed me to do. And what does that become to that person? You're a grateful man. You're not talking about yourself. You're not bragging. You're not boasting about something you did. Saying what God did for you, and you're grateful. People love to be around grateful people. They feel like they can talk to them because they receive. A grateful person not just speaks, but receives. Amen?
Yeah.
People yearn for good news, life-changing news. So I say, you give them, give it to them. Share it. Not on TV, not that, but in you. Because people in your life know you best. That's great, dear. Your family knows you best. Trust me, my family knew me best because they heard all the nonsense from 30 and 40 years ago, and some of them still believe it. God bless them. But somebody you might talk to might just start to believe it, Sergio. They might just start to believe, and then you leave it there. You know, we're not preaching to people. We're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus. And here's the truth. How many want the truth today? You tell somebody how sad you are. You tell somebody how much pain you're in, your frustrations, how bad relationship. You tell them people that. Oh, you know, man, I just feel like my wife or my husband or this or that or something. Oh, woe is me. Guess what people do, Deacon David? Back there, Deacon David, I just got that a prophecy? Guess what people do when you tell them that? They listen. And then what do they do? They offer opinions on what you need to do to get over. They could be the worst person in the world, frustrated, but they're going to have an opinion for you. Why? Because they listen to you say, oh, my this, my back, or my wife, or my husband, or this guy, or that store, or my job. They listen. So why not tell them something good? They offer advice. And here's the thing. They offer free counseling. Anybody know that's true? So why not tell them something about Jesus? They might not even say a word, which is probably pretty good, as long as they're listening. You won't need to preach it. It's not religion. Again, I wrote, it's not denomination. It's life. Whose life? Your life. The others know. Your friends know. Your family know. And I'm closing here. Last page, I promise, right here. I have three words for you. The word is humble. The second word is humble. And the third word is humble. You do it with a grateful heart. You do it out of kindness. And you do it humbly. Not too serious. But not too flippant either. You don't want to make it like, oh, well, God, you know. You want to be serious. Simple and plain. After all, if you truly believe what I've just been telling you, if you truly understand and receive, if you truly believe in His name, if you believe in your salvation, if you truly believe that God has blessed your life, that you have had grace with God, that you have favor with, you found favor with, if you truly believe any of that, how His word has lifted you up, if you truly believe any of that, what a great gift to those you care for most when you say Merry Christmas. Give Him praise. Merry Christmas, church. Tell somebody about Jesus. You tell them everything. Everything. Don't preach it. Don't pound it. Just say, you know what God did in my life? You see, but I have been, you know, you knew me yesterday. But see me today. You know that was God. He did for us on that cross our salvation. He got whipped, He got beaten, He got torn up and died on that cross for our salvation. He rose again with the resurrection for our promise for tomorrow. And all He asks of His children is to do what we're going to do now in remembrance of Him. That's it. He didn't want you to do 20 backflips or run 5 miles. He just wants you to remember. And on Christmas Day, you all remember, but every day should be a little bit of Christmas in your life. Amen. The Bible says He took the bread and He broke the bread and blessed the bread and said, this is my body being torn for you. And He said to eat, but do this in remembrance of me, folks, in Jesus' name. Why did He tell them to eat it? Because He wanted it inside of you. He wanted it inside of you too. Thank you, Lord. Traveling mercies for our families, and may tomorrow be a blessed day. Just enjoy each other, enjoy the company, enjoy the food, whatever plans you have, and really enjoy the people you're with, because trust me, there's a lot of us that would wish that other people are still with us. So whoever you have, whatever you're doing, look at them and say, that's a blessing, and enjoy that blessing. And we're going to ask Brother John. Oh, there he is. Stop hiding back there. One more prayer to God as we do each and every Sunday. We're going to ask God to bless the United States of America, Brother Zippy. Miss Lisa, this man is Zippy Johnson. Did you know Zippy?
Yes.
That's you know Lisa? Yes. Wave your hand, he can't see that far.
Tell him who I was married to, phone number.
She was formerly Bill Kohler's wife.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Lisa sang with Bill. Lisa, I met him, well, I didn't, I wish I had, at the Danbury Fair. Well, you weren't even born yet, but him and his band used to play when you walked in. It was, and him on the electric guitar said, man, someday I want to do that. So him coming to our church is like God again. Only God could bring Zippy and Lily to this church. You're going to sing God Bless America, brother. Take it away.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white and foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home.